Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Come on in.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are Steel Magnolias.
Two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern.
We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Hi, Lainey.
Hi, Laura Beth. Well, as we close out 2020, I wanted to comment on the books that I read this year.
Really
quick. Because I made a goal to read one or more books per month.
Okay. Did you hit
12?
Which
is a big goal for me. I have 13 books
on
the list.
And you're talking actual reading, not audiobook, any of that.
No, I counted audiobooks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have 13 on the list. 9 of the 13 are nonfiction. So that tells you where my interests are. and about half of them were Southern authors.
Okay.
So I don't stay in the South for all things entertaining. But I'll just... Actually, you know what? I'm not even going to...
I should have made my list and I didn't.
Well, you can do it later. As we're talking, I'm thinking, I don't want to spend too much time talking about this. I'll actually post these on our Instagram. So if you're interested in seeing what I read this year, go follow us on Instagram at Steel Magnolias Podcast. And then you can do the same, Lainey.
Okay.
You've got
I'll make my list. I kept one last year and I think I hit 21 or two.
Like serious?
Yeah, I did really well. I don't know that I did that many this year.
Wow.
Anyway.
Well, I quit 3, which I'm not even going to mention because I quit them because they got tacky.
Well, that's real. I can't even tell you how many movies I start and I'm like, fantastic, find something else.
Well, but you know what's a little bit more fair about a movie is that there is a rating. And so I have often thought...
It doesn't matter. PG-13s have made me blush.
Okay, but it says PG-13 due to sexual content or... You know, like it kind of gives
you... I didn't get that far.
...some sort of reasoning why it got the... But I agree. A PG-13
it makes
rating
me maddening.
Oftentimes maddening is to R me. To us. But why don't books have the same MPAA rating?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, I know they're not under motion pictures, but why isn't there like a book rating system? Not like a 5-star review. I'm talking like a based on content. Why isn't there some sort of... Anyway.
Okay, well, I'm going to make you laugh. And now I've got to look up a word and don't have my phone handy. But anyway, I was at Barnes & Noble, just went in there for a brief amount of time to look at a couple of books because I still like to see it, touch it, do I want it, kind of a thing. Forgot to look at the Dolly book while I was there. But anyhow, because you said it was beautiful and I wanted to see it, but I forgot to look at that one. But I am looking for a particular section. You know, they have them in sections.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed this one aisle is so busy. Like, it wasn't even a busy part of... I mean, the store wasn't real busy that particular day and time. But there was one aisle that was real busy with young people.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I had to look the word up, too, because I was in Barnes & Noble 2 weeks ago.
And I didn't even know what that word is.
I think it's...
Magna?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. It was something to do with gaming. Or
it's like
anime.
Japanese anime.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. There was like 10 people in that aisle, none in any of the other sections I was looking for. And so I'm like...
This is the exact same... Like,
what is
scenario
that?
I walk, and then I'm like, do you have a section for just regional or Southern authors? And they looked at me like, there's like a travel section. I was like, come on.
I know, right? Well, we do live similar lives, even though we're in different circles a lot.
But what I wanted to mention, just in case people don't know about it, this helped me get access to more books this year, is that Libby.
Don't tell everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's true.
I'm just kidding. But no, we want our listeners to share to know.
So there's a Libby, L-I-B-B-Y app that allows you, and there are others, but that's the one that you introduced me to.
Yeah.
It allows you to check out audiobooks
from your library with your or library e-books card.
From your local library. So
I've got three things on hold right now, and they're like 2 months, 6 months, yeah. You know, and that's the only reason I'm jokingly saying we don't want to tell everybody.
Right. But. Yeah. There was a couple on my quit list that I'm even more kind of frustrated about because I waited like 15 weeks.
And then you're like, it's here.
And then but you know what else deflate. Is good about, yeah. You know what else is good about, I find, listening to the book is you see how much time you've put into it. So if it's trashy, you're like, I've put 3 hours into listening to this. I'm done.
Yeah. I'm not going to put 12.
Yeah.
If I've already done three and it's, yeah.
Like I have totally 10, fair. I have 10 more hours of yeah. this.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem to be getting
I'm
better.
Piecing out. Yeah.
That just helps me for some reason.
Yeah.
Because time is valuable.
Time so. Is so valuable.
Anyway. Yeah. Look for, we'll do that offline or on Instagram. I mean,
okay. I'll make my list.
We'll do
too.
Our 2020.
We'll have some parallels.
Book review. Well, this is our last show of season two.
Yes.
So we're going to take a very much needed Christmas break. We'll be back in January with an all new season. That'll be season three.
Tons of exciting things ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask you, I had a lot of fun on season two launching with listener questions.
Oh, okay.
And that was a really popular episode. So I'm just going to maybe put it out there.
Let's do it.
If we get some listener Let's questions enough to make an episode, I think we should launch with that.
Okay.
So if you have listener questions, it could be anything. Like, obviously keep it Southern related, but, you know, podcast related. Go back to old episodes if you had a question. Anything, really.
Yeah.
Send us an email. I'll put the link in the show notes. Or Facebook message us or Instagram message us.
And so. You said Southern related, but that also overlaps into entertainment related or that kind of thing. Remember we had somebody that wanted us to go over setting up a guest room?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's hospitality. It's not Southern per se.
Yeah.
But I had fun doing that little doing that episode.
But I would guess that people that would write us are kind of familiar with our show.
True.
So,
yeah
if it's something that
fits,
we've talked about too and you want more of or something.
Well,
anyway,
that's fine.
Putting that out there for y'all.
Well, I've had this topic on my radar for a long time.
Yes, you have.
In my running list.
Yes, you have.
But 'tis the season for, it's cold weather and it's typically a time when you're opening your door to lots of people. Maybe not so much this year.
Typically. Yeah. So we're talking milk punch and eggnog and I wanted to throw in wassail, but that doesn't fit because it's served hot.
Yeah.
And we're talking about cold punches.
Yes.
And they very much are sister sort of drinks to one, beverages to one another. So if you want to hear even more like holiday hosting tips or other sort of
Christmas entertaining
punches or other things, we did do a holiday hosting episode in season one. It was episode 52. Just remember it was pre-COVID. So I don't even know what we said on that episode, but just know we weren't.
Everybody gather around your punch bowl and dip in at the same
time. Hang a mistletoe, you know, like, just give us grace in knowing that that was not a context of where we're at today. So, okay. Let's dive in.
There's lots of things, directions we can go. You want to start eggnog?
Sure.
Okay. Do you have...
Well, I think it's funny when you think about eggnog because people love it or hate it. Like, just...
Very divisive.
As I've
so
just said that, somebody just paused.
Gag. They're gag.
Or they're fast forwarding till we get to milk punch. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or they're out. So we know that. I put a question up on a Southern cooking group that I'm in on Facebook about like just eggnog recipes or kind of tips on making eggnog. And I felt like it raised more questions than answers as I was reading through.
Okay.
So I say all that to say eggnog sounds simple and it's quite complex.
And there's lots of different ways people do it
yes.
and things like that. So I'm not by any stretch of the imagination an eggnog expert, but I do love it.
I love it. I've never made it.
It's one of those things that I feel like I have to be very mindful of because it is so high in calories that I can't buy it to have around for the whole month.
Right.
It's like get some for the Christmas Eve. You know what I mean? Right. Like I need it 1/2 gallon only in the house.
Yes. Agree.
Because it's just so good and so desserty. I mean, it's basically like I got tickled thinking it's basically almost like a milkshake that's melted and I'm just drinking it. So the glass doesn't need to be too large.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
Anyway.
Well, so we do need to just acknowledge the fact that, as the name mentions, it has eggs in it.
Raw eggs.
So one of the comments that I had on this Facebook question, someone said, well, look at recipes online where the eggs are tempered, which is like pasteurization.
Okay.
So this, they said, this combined with the alcohol will make the eggnog safe to drink.
I think just the alcohol alone makes it pretty safe, personally.
So even if you are undecided, which I don't think you are, about eggnog, now I've really got your attention because you're wondering now, is eggnog not safe to drink?
I mean, I guess you have to address the fact that there can be salmonella in raw eggs. But if you, depending on like where you get these eggs and like if you are including alcohol in your eggnog, that's going to kill a lot more.
Yeah.
Than if you don't.
Yeah.
Eggnog doesn't have to have alcohol in it to be called eggnog.
Yeah.
But I did find a funny little quote from Eudora Welty, who's a...
I was going to mention her, too.
Southern author. Yeah. Did you see that same quote?
I don't know.
I just thought it was funny. She was once asked whether it was fitting to serve her signature eggnog recipe without the whiskey, to which she replied, a bird can't fly on just one wing.
Oh, my gosh,
I just
thought
that was cute.
That's amazing. Okay, well, since you're on Eudora, well, let me talk about her in just a second. So I just wanted to say that, like, if you are buying eggs in this country, in the USA, they've been through a pasteurized process that gets them through, like, the USDA food safety regulations.
So you should be fine. If you're getting them from your backyard chickens, they're probably even safer than the ones that we're getting at the grocery. But
yeah. So if you are, like, if you are pregnant or you are very elderly, I've seen some footnotes, I'm being honest, of like, consult your doctor, avoid this, you know. I'm not trying to be funny about it. There is some legitimacy to it. But I also was just kind of cracking up that there was a lot of chatter about, like, is eggnog even safe to drink?
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Anyway. But Eudora Welty's recipe comes from her mother.
Oh.
And her mother's name was Chestine, I think. Oh, gosh. Get my notes straight here. Okay. So, you know, she's a Pulitzer Prize winning Southern author, if people don't know who she is. But she has famously shared her recipe that she inherited from her mother, Chestina, who in turn, her mother, gives credit to Charles Dickens.
What?
So I'm going to show you a picture right now, because I'm going to post this on our Instagram.
This is so fun.
Right now.
I love it. Okay. I'm looking at it here. Okay.
That is
Charles Dickens recipe.
That is Eudora's handwriting.
That is precious.
Of her mother's recipe. So I'm going to post that on our Instagram this week. But I mean, if y'all want to make eggnog that comes from the kitchen of Charles Dickens, that's pretty amazing. We'll be posting that.
Absolutely. I think this is so adorable how it's written in her handwriting too.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, I don't even know where to start.
Well, we've started. Okay, so okay, so we've talked about the fact that eggnog is raw eggs. So if you are just on the sort of a high level, just know that eggnog, in theory, shouldn't be cooked.
Right.
There, we'll get down the road into later what it means.
I think one reason that this is also popular at Christmas too is most of these recipes make big batches.
Yeah.
So this is something that's really easy to serve out of a pitcher or a punch bowl.
Yes.
You know, for a big group.
Yeah.
I think that's one reason that this got so popular.
Yeah.
So, and
So other recipe wise, besides the one that we just mentioned, yes. which sounds like it's the first one we should all try, if it's
and
from
it
Charles
similar
Dickens.
To the one that I have here, too.
But Martha Stewart has a very popular one, too. And I saw a lot of people mention that they use hers.
They like
if
hers,
they make
okay.
Hers is very boozy.
Not a southerner.
Hers is very boozy.
Okay.
So for me personally, I think that if you had Maker's Mark... bourbon, dark rum,
and
cognac.
Oh,
yeah.
Cognac. Okay. Sometimes you'll see brandy.
That's a lot. So yeah, I feel like that's really starting to take away from
the creaminess.
Yeah. That's like a different drink to me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The recipe that I was hoping to make for us today, but didn't get to. Sorry.
It happens. It happens. December.
Looks kind of similar to hers, Eudora Welty's, but is a bigger batch.
Okay.
It's just got bourbon.
Okay.
Or said whiskey.
Yes.
But it's also got the powdered sugar and whipping cream and yum, yum, yum. Anyway, I do think another thing that's really important with a drink like this is I love fresh nutmeg when it's like just grated.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even just do that with like a little zester or something. Like
yes.
A little, you know, just buy the nutmeg whole and do that on the top, each little glass.
Yes. Yeah.
Make that fresh.
Presentation. And we did say that this serves large batches primarily.
Yeah.
You'll see. I mean, a lot of the recipes I was seeing are like 5 gallons. I mean, large. But we're saying this in this context here because Southerners like to host. But if you're not hosting this year, fair enough.
Yeah.
Scale it way back, though.
And sometimes that's hard to tweak if it's a 5-gallon recipe and you're making it for a family of 4. But you can figure it out. But another thing is this will stay in the refrigerator.
Yes.
Where if somebody pops over for... you know, a little visit, you would have it ready to serve.
Yeah.
Another thing I was thinking about that I can see why this would have become popular is think about in, you know, the 1800s when they were on farms, they had chickens, they had cows.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the dairy products you need. You've got the eggs, you've got the cream. What are we going to do with all this stuff?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We can make a fresh batch of eggnog. I can totally see how that became popular. And I know here in the States, both George Washington and Dwight Eisenhower were big fans of eggnog.
Oh, cool.
Kind of known fans. And the Washingtons apparently served it all winter at Mount Vernon. Like they're kind of known for...
Okay.
Associated with eggnog.
Yeah.
But December is National Eggnog Month.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And Christmas Eve is National Eggnog Day. Because, you know, we have national everything now.
Right.
So, prime time to be talking about this.
So, I mean, we just need to make a point to say the things that you need to make this are a lot of dairy products and time. You need eggs, you need milk, you need cream.
Yes. And it usually needs to rest overnight.
Yes.
So don't think you're going to make this at 2 p.m. for your evening gathering.
Yes.
Like you need to make it the night before so it can sit.
That's right.
But if you are dairy-free, there are options for you.
Ooh, good point.
I know that company Almond Breeze that does almond milk, they make an almond milk eggnog.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it good? I don't know. I haven't had it. My friend Kaylee, who is dairy-free, has used some of these.
Yeah.
And I know Silk, she said Silk makes one.
Okay.
I think even Lactaid makes one for lactose intolerance. So there is options. I'm not saying that they're exactly the, you know, how they taste, but there's options. There's also keto-friendly versions. And there's even already boozed up, done eggnog. Evan Williams makes, same as their, you know, in the liquor store, you would purchase already done eggnog that already has the Evan Williams in it.
We saw that.
We did.
Was it?
Yeah, and I've had it before, but it's been a while. And I remember thinking it was good. I don't know that I would say it was great. But
it wasn't cold.
Well, it wasn't open yet either.
So it was okay to have on the shelf. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the alcohol and that sealing process, it's fine.
Okay.
But yeah, there's no shame in that if you want to just pick it up.
Exactly.
Or if you can't have all the eggs and dairy.
I've heard that Trader Joe's does a really good already done up eggnog. That's not going to have the alcohol already included.
So you would then
from a brand already done up standpoint, I've heard theirs is really good
too.
But I, so if you want a cooked version, we need to just at least mention that's not eggnog.
But that's, it's not even boiled custard. Boiled custard isn't boiled, but I guess it is cooked.
Well, but it's considered cooked.
Okay.
So that, you know, I went down this whole trail.
I just remember
research.
Thinking boiled custard isn't boiled. So where'd that name come from? But I guess there is a cooking process or a, do they curdle? I don't know.
Well, it's Southern. I mean, it is a longstanding Southern tradition. Damon Lee Fowler, he's a culinary historian. But you mentioned culinary historians.
Yes, I'll tell my fact in a moment.
He indicates that boiled custard has been a staple in Southern kitchens almost since the first boat landed in Jamestown in 1607.
Funny.
So, again, the most basic difference is that boiled custard is heated, while true eggnog isn't. They're both made with milk, half and half or cream, egg, sugar, and usually some vanilla. But eggnog's going to be very fluid and creamy because it hasn't heated. Custard gets thicker as it heats.
Yuck. That doesn't sound good to me.
And as the eggs are cooking.
Okay.
So.
Okay. But then I think, isn't boiled custard, is it served warm or is it served cold also? Like you've now refrigerated it. Do you know?
Good question. I feel like it's more like a room temperature.
Okay.
So it's whole milk, eggs, white sugar, and vanilla.
Well, I had read that another culinary historian, Andrew F. Smith, he says that historically eggnog in this country is a Southern drink.
Really?
So, I mean, I know I've heard of eggnog in other parts of the country, but that's what he says, which also led me to the question, just to be funny, is how do you become a culinary historian? Because I want to be one.
I know. That's a great title.
I know. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, we're kind of doing that already because
we
give
are.
A lot of background on food. And so, you know, if you want to call yourself
Peters, culinary historian,
it's got a nice ring to it for
sure. Totally does.
Yeah. So we're not really saying that eggnog and boiled custard originated here in the South.
No, I think it's always
European.
You know, like I think I've seen the Isle of Iona for eggnog, and then I've seen just England for eggnog. I don't know.
We're just saying
exact where
we're the ones keeping it alive down here.
That's all. we're keeping it going, and we do love to bring. You know, we're came from that area.
Yeah,
many of our immigrants did. So of course we have some of those traditions.
Yeah. Anything else you'd say on eggnog?
That I want some.
I know. Now I want some.
I want your Dora Welty to sit here and have some with me. That's all I want.
That would be the ghost of Christmas past. I was thinking even, I know we didn't get a chance to make it, but I would love to have done a taste test.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
That would have been so much work, though. Like, remember how we did the hot sauces?
Yeah.
That was a little easier of an investment to make because we were just buying little hot sauces, which aren't that expensive. And eggnog tasting would have been a lot more pricey, but it sure would have been fun.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well.
Anyway, yeah.
Maybe a Christmas 2021 event with our listeners. We do something with various milk punches and eggnog.
Extravaganza eggnog events.
I see what you did there.
So milk punch, although
using your noggin.
Oh my gosh. This is definitely our last episode of the year. So milk punch seems a little more my speed, even though I know I love eggnog. I think I might like milk punch better, but I haven't had it to
because no raw
say
eggs.
That. Yes.
You just want the creamy, boozy, but not the eggs.
Yeah.
Do the eggs freak you out a little bit?
After
they don't freak me out.
After reading all these people, they've bothered me with all their
pasteurized
comments. So
they're unpasteurized comments.
Word. You know, Southern Living this month mentioned milk punch. So again, I felt so validated in us already having this content on our calendar.
We know what's what.
Theirs was funny because they have one called the Triple B. Triple B as in boy.
Okay.
Milk punch. And they call it that because it's bourbon, brandy, and buttermilk as the requirements.
Oh my gosh. This thing is thick. Well, this is definitely renowned in New Orleans. I mean, it's on a lot of menus in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I mean, even, I don't know about year round, definitely all winter, but all times of day. Like, I, for some reason, think of eggnog as like, just like I would a White Russian, like an evening, end of the day situation.
Yes, a night
cap. I can't imagine having a drink like that in the middle of the day. But I guess milk punch may be a little lighter because of the not having the eggs.
Yeah.
Anyhow, carry on. Well, I was just throwing in my two cents.
Again, this would be like big batch cocktail. Have you heard of milk punch made without the alcohol? Because we mentioned with eggnog.
No, it's always not alcohol.
Okay, so I wanted
eggnog
to make...
you could do either, but milk punch always has alcohol.
Yeah, okay.
And I think it always has, you see sometimes brandy, sometimes bourbon,
yes,
and rum.
Yes. This Southern Living recipe didn't have rum, but... Okay. But yeah, I've seen rum in a lot. And again, garnishes are everything, right?
Yes.
So cinnamon and fresh nutmeg and...
cute little, the right little glass.
Yeah. No, glasses. We've said that before. Glasses matter.
They do.
So what sort of glass would you think this works in? Like a short one with a little handle glass?
Yes. Or even like a little Irish coffee glass would be cute.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It has a little stand, but not real, real big.
Yeah.
That would be good for something like that too.
Yeah. Something that you're not touching.
Right.
Because it's cold and it's a cold season.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be having your hand on it.
So one of the reasons New Orleans was known for milk punch early on was... because they were a seaport, there was ice was readily available. It would come in by ship.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, think about in things we don't have to think about in this day and age.
Right.
So ice is a major component in this milk punch.
Yes.
And so they could do milk punch there.
That's come up on the podcast before as well.
Ice.
It matters.
It matters.
And
seaports got more things like that than...
Wow.
If you're not coastal, you don't get
so
all of that stuff. But for our listeners who are faithful and already making simple syrups for their different drinks that they're making, if you have simple syrup, bourbon, vanilla extract, and whole milk or half and half, you're almost there at making this.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You just need a little rum. Well, it depends on your recipe. You might not even need that, but most of them have rum.
Yeah.
So anyway, this might be something you might want to look up
the
recipe
I'm gonna try.
Whip through.
I'm going to try making this because I want less ingredients on hand that I don't need for other things. Of course, it's December. I need all this stuff, don't I?
Well, and I'm thinking if you were to get the eggs, if you don't...
Eggs are eggs.
Eggs are eggs.
Eggs are going to get eaten in my house.
I always whip through some eggs.
That's so true. Well,
well, maybe you make the milk punch, I make the eggnog, and we do our own little tasting comparison.
And I think, again, I can't stress it enough, look at what the serving sizes are, the serving quantities on your recipes that you're looking at, because I'm seeing it all over the place. I'm seeing serves 5 and serves 5 gallons.
Yeah, I know the recipe I was going to make with the eggnog called for 12 eggs, and Eudora Welty's is 6.
Right.
You do separate the yellow and the white when you're making it.
But
maybe I need to start with just 6 and see if
I
really want that much around. Because I just said, I can't, it's so good. I don't need a whole huge batch here. I could take that to our church event and be like, here you go.
The women's brunch.
Yeah.
Well, we have a couple of recipes that we'll post. I can't put like a gold star by any of them.
Because we
their
are
own...
not experts at making these yet.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll put links in the show notes.
So festive. Just a fun thing to try.
Absolutely. And I can't close out the Christmas episode without acknowledging something Christmassy. So I was listening to a pastor the other day, and he was talking about, he did some research on what the most theologically sound Christmas carol or Christmas song is.
Okay, this is fascinating to me
because there's a lot
of our listeners don't know that I'm a licensed minister.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I'm really into theology. That might surprise you, but I love studying this. So what song did he think was the most theologically sound?
So he said, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And
okay.
I looked through the lyrics and, you know, there's so many good lines. I mean,
God and sinners reconciled.
Yeah.
That line is, what he came for, y'all.
Yeah. Just, you know, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, Hail the incarnate deity. I mean, I, of course, I love the way this is like written from 17 something. But yeah, I just thought, you know, we listen to songs and there's all these Christmas albums coming out. They're fun, but I just wanted to encourage everybody to
listen to some of these old ones that are tried and true.
Yeah.
We talked about, anything else on that one? There's just so many good lines.
Yeah.
I may play that after this just to listen to it again afresh.
Ooh, born that man no more may die, born to raise the son of earth, born to give them second birth. I mean, just so good.
Yes.
It is theologically sound.
It is. Wow. Well, I remember talking on the podcast before several years ago, me reading that Joy to the World was written about Christ's second coming, not his first coming.
So interesting.
And it totally blew me away and had me weeping just thinking about heaven and earth's response to when he comes again.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, amazing.
Yeah, because I heard someone else talking about, like, we're in Advent season right now, which are the four, you know, celebrated the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. But it's really this whole, like,
anticipation
month of preparation and anticipation
of his coming.
And so they were saying, we are living between two Advents.
Oh,
right?
So good. Yes.
Like, the Advent for Jesus to come has happened. Like, they prepared
their
hearts.
They had been long awaiting their Messiah.
And now, and so that has already happened here on earth. And now there's this other expectation of Jesus returning back. And so we're in another, the second Advent. So it's
so
just
cool.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting to think about living between those two Advents.
Yes. But. Well, there's just so much beauty in those scriptures that we read this time of year, every year.
Yeah.
But there's just different things that, because it's alive, that that the Lord can show us in rereading those things and re-listening to these old songs. Gosh,
yeah.
So good.
I feel like every Christmas when I'm in some sort of a service, some lyric
jumps out. Yeah.
Like I remember last year, it was His law is love and His gospel is peace. So that one stood out to me. What is that from? Oh my gosh, duh. It's Oh Holy Night. Hello.
Oh man, like, that one.
When the glory falls.
Seriously. And for some reason, I much prefer to hear a female sing that song.
Me too.
There's something about that song that needs to be female singer.
Because it sounds angelic.
And I know Josh Groban does it well. Like somebody's going to be saying that right now. But it's something about a female. Faith Hill can tear that one up too. I think it's her that. But that.
Or is it Martina?
Maybe it's Martina. There's some country female
that
I really liked the version. But I love the line in that song that says.
In O Holy Night?
Yes, in O Holy Night, where it says, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth.
That's good.
We didn't have any worth, but I mean, we just, in sin and error pining, we're just pining for.
So true.
You know, and then He comes and we have worth again. Oh, man.
It's a good word, sis.
So good. Well.
Hope that you all soul
ponder
feels
some of
its
those.
Worth.
Yes. Yes. That's so good.
I know.
I just hope our listeners chew on the lyrics of these tunes because they're so good.
Who transitions from milk punch to Christmas hymns? We do.
We do.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. May peace, the Prince of Peace, be with y'all.
Yes. Amen.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.